Anipac, which is anime news in the Pacific and other crap.
That's not bad, actually.
Yes, thank you. Episode 60.
Very exciting. So we're
Asian news.
In Japan, we'd be retired right now at 60.
That's right. So, unless we're a politician.
That's right. Then you can keep going till 90. And Nakasone is still up there. Jesus Christ. Yeah, he's like 90 years old. Prime Minister like in the early 80s. He's still in the LDP controlling stuff from behind the scenes. It's all very depressing.
I think someone's controlling him from behind the scenes with like little strings. Just so he looks alive.
Somebody who's like even older, like 120 years old. Right.
Yeah. The Shogun.
That's right. Shogun. He's secretly still alive. That's right. Mm. So 60. So that's another milestone for us. And of course, we'll be saying the same thing at 65. Every like five episodes, we're like, oh, another milestone.
But,
yes.
But we are still potent, unlike many 60-year-olds.
That's right.
Still potent and full of life.
I wonder if our listener count is like plateauing now.
Yes, it'll be interesting to see.
Well, because like I think you get to a certain point, you just can't grow anymore. Because like I think like anime world order has got like the market cornered on like there's room for like one mega like podcast, I think.
Well, there's Anime Pulse, but that's kind of a different audience.
Yeah,
that's completely different audience.
Okay, explain the difference in the audiences.
Well, Anime Pulse is more for the younger, bleachy kind of kids. Anime World Order is for the grouchy, older, old school fans. I suppose. So, you know, and Anime Pacific is even more niche, I suppose you could say. But I mean, unlike Anime Pulse and Anime World Order, we have never been to a con and we can't promote ourselves, because that's what they do, especially Anime World Order. They go to cons and give out free CDs and stuff of their podcast. Geek Nights does that as well.
You know, I wonder, why do they go to all that trouble?
Well, I mean, they go to cons anyway. And if you go to a con as a podcaster, you get it like a press badge. And there's a lot of benefits to having a press badge.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, so there's that. I mean, I don't know if we'd get one, but...
I don't know, you never know. If you ever get off your ass and at some point visit me, maybe there'll be like a summer where you fly over instead of going back to Australia, and we could like drive down to, I don't know, some con somewhere in the States. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you've got to have a certain amount of listeners. And
yeah, but isn't it like a chicken and egg thing? Like, how did Anime World Order get the listeners and then get go to cons and shit, or is it the other way around? You know.
Well, no. Yeah, I mean, also I think Daryl is pretty connected. He knows lots of people in various niches of fandom and whatnot. So, whereas we
Well, with your connections in, like, the whole BDSM scene and...
I was waiting for something like that.
We're on our way to getting that whole gay, sadomasochistic audience.
Yeah, thanks to Alex, we have several dozen cowboy listeners now, also. So,
right.
Big thanks to Alex
that.
You know,
I never would have gotten into... Brokeback Mountain without your good word in that community there, Dane. Thank you very much.
That's alright. Well, I knew it had hit close to home for you, so I recommended it to you. Okay. Anyway, without further ado, this is Anipac, and I am the unaccented one, Dane.
That's right. Yes, and I'm Alex.
The heavily accented one.
Also, the heavily accented one, that's right. This episode's a couple days late, although, as we always say, it's better than an episode like once every 2 months, so take what you can get, people.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So, we did this because, well, for me it's Easter holidays, and as I mentioned, it's been extended due to the influenza. So we could afford to make this a few days later and, Normally, I'd be at work on this day, which is a Tuesday for me and a Monday for Alex. So,
that's right.
Pretty good. And I've just installed the Windows Vista Service Pack 1, which...
And you're all excited, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's like having a diamond covered in poo. And...
and have the poo slightly removed.
Yeah, no, I've gotten through the first... layer of poo.
There's no diamond.
But
yeah,
now there's
and then
a thicker,
you find a...
almost petrified layer of poo that I have reached. And
you've hit the coal.
Yeah, I've hit the coal. I'm sure that there still might be a diamond in there somewhere, but I'm afraid that the poo might have contaminated it, which I know nothing about.
I thoroughly regret geology. I don't understand why God's name I upgraded, so-called, to Vista. I had no problems with XP. It was running fine. The only reason to switch over, I got a new CPU and motherboard. You know, I might as well, while I'm reinstalling everything, let's go to the next version. How stupid was that?
I just did it for DirectX 10.
Yeah, but I mean, fuck. Like, first, there are not many games that run that at all anyway. I mean, and the only one that really, like, you want is, this isn't a game podcast, but, what's the one by the tropical one there?
Crysis.
Killing me. Help. Crysis. Yeah, and nothing can run it. Even like the newest video cards can barely run it in high mode, let alone highest. So the whole thing's pointless. I have to wait till like 2010 when the next version of Windows comes out. It's a little depressing. Anyways, this isn't computer chat. Well, actually, speaking of computers,
Isn't computer chat. Speaking of computers,
well, this is related to anime, though. You see this item that Japan is talking about, and I'll believe it when I see it. But stripping, like cutting off the internet for people who download illegally in Japan.
What audacity!
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
But I don't know. It might just be all talk. But yeah, you never know. But of course, like for some bizarre reason, in Japan they use like the shittiest program, Winnie.
I can actually talk a little bit about Winnie or Winry. I can't remember what it is, but it is infamous for. It's highly suspect program. It's infamous for being loaded with sort of trackware and spyware and stuff like that. And a lot of people think it's just fabricated to track people down because it has virtually no usage outside of Japan, although I know a few people in Hong Kong who get it exclusively for Japanese adult videos.
Does that person be you?
Actually, no, because I warned my friend about using Winnie because... you know, like I said, it's full of this sort of crapware. And
friend's name?
No,
Dane.
No, I'm serious. I would not use that program. It is not worth it. And frankly, I know several places where adult videos from Japan are very.
Well, actually, we discussed that like. God, way back in like episode 17 or 18 or something, we mentioned this like great torrent site where you can get them all, you know, all your heart's desire. Like 10 episodes are uploaded like every hour or something. Not episodes, but whatever.
Yes.
Video constantly being updated, and like we got all these like all these comments from pervs and the fellow pervs, and I should actually say in the not our forum but in our comment section, can you send us a link to this, post the link to the site. So if you go way back to like I think it's about like 17 or 18 19 in there somewhere in the comment section, if you want to track down that site, you can dig up the link, which
yes.
I or Dane perhaps posted in the comments. So yeah, so there are much easier ways to
I've since converted to
filth.
The Church of Jesus Christ and Latter-day Saints and have repented.
You're a Mormon now,
a
are you?
Yeah, I'm a Mormon.
I wouldn't need that. I wouldn't need pornography if I could have like four wives and
that's right. That's right. Now this is exactly like, well,
you're it's the whole Connie's going to be she's evil not eye, here. Is she?
She's not here. It's just inbuilt self-defense mechanism,
your freedom
that's all.
To speak.
Yep. Well, you know, I mean, if you could share the family... Oh, no, I better not say that. That's pretty controversial. Moving on. I also have some interesting stuff from the Pacific. Let's hit some anime stuff. There is going to be an anime adaptation of Blade of the Immortal. Now, this is actually a manga series that I bought years ago, maybe a decade or so ago. I bought, like, I think 2 or 3 volumes of it.
That explains the verb bought instead of, like, downloaded or eBayed or whatever your euphemism
is. Thank you for...
Okay, so anyway, so 10 years ago...
And Blade of the Immortal. Yes, it's sort of a samurai series. Well, it's about a guy that gets cursed to be undead or immortal, and he can only sort of become mortal again if he kills 1,000 evil people.
Jesus. And oh, it has to be evil.
Yeah,
I guess
1,000 people. It is 1,000 evil people, yes.
Well, couldn't he just kill, like, just walk around, like, any, like, city and, like, just kill everyone in the city? So let's say it's, like, 10,000 people or something. So, of course, you're going to, like 90% of those will not be evil people. But let's say he just does, like very, you know, like how you're in your logging? And you're only searching for, like, certain types of trees, like certain good trees, right? And, you know, you might think, oh, the loggers, they go in there and cut down that one tree and selective cutting, and then they drag the tree out and you know. But no, they go in and clear cut, like, a whole acre or something, cut down all the trees they want or don't want, and it's just easier that way. So in the same method, couldn't he sort of clear cut, like, a whole town? And of course he kills a whole bunch of people he doesn't need to kill, but then, you know, he will find it a lot.
There is a workaround for that. Actually, he has to kill 1,000 evil men for all the good men he killed.
Oh, that's stupid. Yeah.
Well, anyway, it is a good comic or manga. It is very good. And I've only read the first 3 volumes, but I enjoyed it. It was very well drawn. And the reason I even bring this up at all is because that there'd be interviews with the mangaka at the end of every volume. And it'd be something along the lines of, this could never work in an anime adaptation. Oh, no, that won't ever happen. This is my drawing style is too specific to be... you know, it just wouldn't work in an animated form, blah, 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 blah. Well, now it's finally happened. So,
But then how are they resolving all these so-called problems?
I don't know how they're going to do it. You know, I suppose when I watch something like the new Kitaro series, which has very, very good... animation, at the same time it's kind of like manga in motion. It's a new kind of style, so I think technology has sort of changed a little bit to accommodate the beautiful sort of illustrated aspect of it, as opposed to, you know, the fluid animation aspect. So perhaps they can get this kind of look down. But it's coming out in summer, so I'm looking forward to that. You know, there's actually this year, not just the season, but there's certainly a lot of titles. It's probably one of the best year for new titles, because I remember every time looking at these various previews, I was thinking, oh my goodness, there's nothing good coming out, or almost nothing good. But this year, I mean, we've got Macross Frontier, which should be good. We've got the Golgo 13 series, which is right up our alley. The new Cobra series. You know, this Blade of the Immortal. There's just so much stuff coming out. And a lot of it appeals to the older age group. I mean, obviously, there's still going to be moe crap coming out, but...
Well, you'll have to filter out the crap for me and send me some recommendations like that. I gotta say, like, I'm not gonna do a review of this show this week, but the one you recommended to me a couple weeks ago, maybe it was, or...
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
Last week, actually. It really, really paid off. Kaze no Yojimbo. I've been sort of plowing through it. I'm already up to episode 18 of 25, and when I'll finish it, I'll give a review. But yeah, that was really good so far. So I'll check out that, and then I'll check out Monster. So if anything else you dig up from the all the poo that gets thrown out there, you got to filter out the poo.
Well, this
diamonds, eh?
That series, Kaze no Yojimbo, is like 6 or 7 years old now.
Hey, Go-Go 13, isn't that the one with the wasn't that the manga we reviewed?
It'd be impossible to review it because it's like the longest running in the world, 40 years plus. But there have been two anime adaptations of it, both of which I own. I think the first one, I remember I got it in 1995, so that's, and the movie's from the 80s, but you know, it's very good. You know, in basically, it's not so much, you know, it's just elaborate ways of killing people, lots of sex, you know, yeah, exactly. I mean, that's all you can say. And there is a Go-Go 13 TV series coming out this year, and that's just that and the Cobra series. I just can't believe it. It's like someone listened to our innermost dreams.
Yes, thank you. There is, this is sort of vaguely anime related, because in Chile there are sort of young sort of teenagers, let's say 16, 17, 15, and they're calling themselves Pokemons, like after Pokemon, and they're going to this park and just having anonymous sex and they're public orgies. Okay, I'm gonna read the first couple paragraphs here. The teens call their public orgies Poncero on a typical Friday afternoon in the Chilean capital of Santiago. Hundreds gather in a leafy urban park for a few hours of sexual experimentation. Surrounded by passing strollers, they trade partners multiple times, mostly engaging in anonymous rounds of oral sex. Where the hell were these when I was a teenager? When the party is over, no contact information is exchanged. Same gender interactions are commonplace. Well, that's got to be two girls going at it, because two dudes would just be too weird. As the lines between heterosexual and homosexuality are blurred, partly by the alcohol and drugs consumed, but also by shifting social mores held by Chilean youth in contrast to their conservative parents. Poncero, my Spanish is probably horrible there, is about having fun, says Natalia Fernandez, a 15-year-old with pink hair and a pierced chin. This time I had 7 partners. Oh my god. It's Fernandez, like many others in the park, is wearing an anime t-shirt, drawing inspiration from Japanese anime culture. The teens refer to themselves as Pokemons. Their behavior, though, doesn't quite resemble that of the cartoon characters that once obsessed young TV watchers around the world. It's shameless, says Gina, blah, 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 a middle-aged woman in the park that day. They act like Poncero is a competitive sport. Oh, my God.
Well,
I'm
speechless.
Boy. Yeah, I damn it, where were the orgies?
Yeah, but now that I see pictures of this girl with studs coming out of every orifice,
Yeah, some of them are not particularly attractive.
Yeah.
But I don't know, as long as you're 15, as long as the girl's not obese, can't complain.
Okay.
You have to make sure it's a chick.
Yes.
You have to filter out the dudes. So I think once you filter out the dudes and make sure that's not a fat chick, who
If you
cares?
are a Pokemon, then please message the show and we'll give you.
Do we have any
Yes,
listeners
that's
in
right.
Chile?
And
That'd be interesting.
if you are a Hong Kong travel agent and can give me a discount to Chile,
That's right.
let me know and then I will
Yes.
buy all the tickets so no one can go there and commit sins. Thus is my
That's right, that's right.
duty as a Latter-day Saint. Don't take me seriously, people. Okay.
He's serious.
So that I don't think I can top that.
Look at this. This one's 14. Like,
This is, something that kind of always shocked me because I think like a lot of British soaps now, right? Like EastEnders and stuff like that, which my mum likes.
yeah.
Almost all of them these days has a teen pregnancy, like any soap does. But the difference is that a lot of these teen pregnancies, the kids are like 10 or 11 years old. And I'm like, what the hell are they
It's
doing in
already
England,
teen.
And
Yeah.
it kind of sort of shocks
I
me
think it's
because when
sensationalized.
I was in high school, everyone was all talk for the most part.
Yeah, the kids are so lucky these days. God damn it. And it's like not only that are chicks like hoes now, which is very good, that they're giving. It used back in the day when I was growing up, if I wanted to see friggin' naked chicks, I had to like go look at National Geographic or something. And now with the internet, God, it's they don't have to. There's no skill at all involved in having sneaking into the Shoppers Drug Mart and sneaking a peek at the Playboy when the counter lady isn't working, isn't watching. Like back in my day, you needed some skill. Even you, like 5 years after me, you probably had the internet. Me, I had
Well,
nothing. What I was deprived. Bloody teenagers are so lucky
you
these
see, the
days.
problem with me was that I got the internet around about just when I was turning 18, so it had already lost the naughty novelty, so I still had to be very stealthy. So
Yeah.
these are
All
the
right.
times before the internet. Remember my story about my Japanese host father who had
Oh yeah,
three
that's a
videos under the
classic.
floorboard and like a crossbow
Yeah,
hidden in
that
the
poor
stairs in
guy. I
case his
mean,
wife owned it or something, I don't know.
yeah, can you believe? Yeah, that poor guy. At least we have in our celibacy, marriage, also known as marriage. We have the internet, but boy, that your host father there,
Yeah.
boy, he had
He
to,
was a vet,
he probably had to go to
by the way,
like,
and he Yeah,
you,
and he,
oh
I remember
really?
he told me this funny story about
Oh, I stabbed that American in
nothing
the
like that, but he said
head
that that this Yakuza guy brought in his beloved puppy and his puppy had like a terminal illness or something that the chances of not surviving were 90%, and the guy was crapping himself because this accuser was like, "You take care of my puppy," and he was ready to I don't know, he was just afraid of what might happen if he didn't help the puppy. I never found out what happened to the puppy, but at the same time, I never heard from the host father again, so maybe that answers the question. Yeah. So anyway, Well, hey, I have a choice. I asked for taking a couple of girls. I mean, the Gainax, the Gainax, they're all very good. I'm really looking forward to it, but ATV, I had to pay the power. And ATV, oh, God, none. And ATV, I. Oh, excuse me, I'm drunk, because, being drunk is part of being Irish.
People's choice. Now, fully Y2K compliant.
Heber's choice, not just an anime freak, but setting the standard as well.
Moving on to the next kind of segue here. This is something also that you won't find at Anime News Network, or at least I didn't see it there. So, and that is, specifically to Japan, but it affects the whole world, and you'll find out why. UNICEF campaigns to stop virtual child porn. And I'm quoting, well, okay.
Virtual. I see.
While the Japanese government has been cracking down more and more on child pornography, UNICEF feels like the government's efforts have come up a little short. What's more, the organization has been campaigning the government to ban child porn imagery in manga, anime, and games. According to UNICEF's definition...
But how are they defining it?
Yeah, imagery like sailor uniforms should not be permitted in adult scenes. Meaning that UNICEF is saying that even adult videos that feature over 18 actresses should not be allowed to use underage imagery like schoolgirl outfits and whatnot. I mean, on the other hand, I really do despise Lolita lolly manga. And, you know, that's where you know, they are drawn to look like children. But at the same time...
I
don't think anyone is a criminal for getting a hard-on out of a buxom 16-year-old anime girl because... and in her school uniform, seeing her panties, because what defines a pedophile, to me, I think, is someone who is... If we're looking at a schoolgirl, depending on the age, if you're attracted to what makes her a woman, i.e. her shape and her breasts... You're not a pedophile. If you are attracted to what makes her a kid, i.e. a flat chest, very small, etc., you're a pedophile. Do you understand what I'm...
Yeah, I don't know if you should have taken... You should have chosen 16. You should have chosen a safer... Like, why not say even like 17
No,
or
I could
18,
say 16.
You know,
as,
16
as
to a gray zone.
As if anyone, any man here...
Yeah, but the closer you get to 14, I think... You know, 14, that's definitely no-no. 15, well, probably no-no. 16, you know, the closer you get to 18, obviously, things, you know, look less bad.
Okay,
but
you've seen those junior idol pictures. I remember there was one that made the rounds, and everyone was drooling, and then at the end of, like, the forum, someone said, guys, she's 13. And then... Everyone's reaction was like, oh, that's terrible. Oh, zip. Oh, no. But at the same time, they didn't know she was 13. They were attracted to what made her a woman.
Okay, look, but you're missing the point completely, I think. Never mind you're going in this age sort of stupid argument. I concentrate on the if it's like an 18, 19-year-old and wearing a sailor outfit or a uniform, like... Why is that bad? I don't understand. Unless, like, it's like she's like a chick who's 18 but made, like, I don't know, she looks really young or something. Then it would be
I
don't know.
The sailor skirt stuff. I'm a huge supporter of the sailor skirt stuff. But,
all right. But no, normally, like, the argument I heard is, like, they're actually members of, like, a junior college.
Oh, that's a load of horse crap.
Or...
Like, La Blue Girl. You know, oh, she's at a cram school, and she's 16. If you listen to the Japanese or if you read the original manga and stuff, she's 16. And you know, if 14-year-olds can have orgies in Chile,
I don't know. I'm sort of disturbed by this whole
imagery going around where girls are, you know, wearing. Like kitty Hello Kitty pajamas, and they're semi-naked with a teddy bear, and that I don't feel comfortable with.
I'm glad that you finally drawn a line. Well, what do you think about how there are Japanese have two uniforms? There's like the uniform for like a high school, like high school, and then there's a uniform for like a sub high school, like junior high school sort of. That's like all blue.
Oh, the all blue is the junior high one, right?
I find that like sort of disturbing. Rather, if it's like the sort of older high school uniform, I find it, you know, that's fine. But the ones where it's like the junior high school,
yeah,
it's somewhat disturbing, I think. Although I suppose you take old comers.
Yeah, I mean, Japan has such a connection to the sailor uniform and the high school girl that UNICEF is dreaming. I mean, you know, I at the same time, yes, the argument also is that. I've heard this argument before, is that with Lolita manga, no one is being harmed, no children are being taken advantage of.
Yeah, that's a lot of...
And if that is going to stop people doing that to real children, well, maybe that's a good thing. But at the same time, the argument on the other side is that it could provide a segue for people to...
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, the Anime News Network, there's a segment called Ask John, right? And this guy is the biggest sort of otaku guy in the galaxy. And someone said something about loli manga. John replied, well, first I want to say that Japan has a deep cultural history in loli manga. And I think the art, and I've actually read quite a bit of loli manga, and the art form and the story and the blah-bitty, 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 blah, you're a pedophile. Okay, there's if you read loli manga, you're a pedophile. That line should be completely and utterly drawn. Okay, but obviously, yeah, Dane takes
a stand. Dane takes a stand.
Whereas if you like the girls from Evangelion, which a lot of people do, I wouldn't call you a pedophile because you're attracted to the woman aspects of them as opposed to the.
Yeah, I don't know, man, because, like, that's the other thing, that Evangelion thing, like, I always find that disturbing. Like, why do they have to make them 14?
Yeah, I think the age is...
Like, why? It's so clearly, like, what, and besides, whoever 14, like has, like, huge knockers is those chicks. Like, I don't understand, like, the logic, like, well, maybe it's just marketing, you're trying to, like, sell it to, like, 15-year-olds, so yeah, I don't know. Anyways, this whole comfortable topic is making me uncomfortable. So
okay. So, well...
I want to segue into sort of this hilarious article that I found. Australian man gunned down in driveway by killer robot.
Yes.
You see?
That's right.
Only in your home country of Australia.
The Daleks attack.
This 81-year-old man, like, went on the internet and found these plans to, like... build like in the plans to build like a robot, like it's supposed to be like a, I guess it's like a suicide robot or something. So he decided to build this suicide robot and test it out, and he ended up this robot shot him in the head like four times.
My goodness. You know, could you imagine this guy, you know, he changes into Focus 39 or whatever the afterlife is, and he shifts, and then he goes up, and then he goes to his afterlife, and then, you know, they're in line.
It worked!
What are you here for? What are you in here for? Oh, well, you know, I got hit by a train, or oh, you know, I had cancer. Oh, what about you? Oh, I built an elaborate suicide droid, which I downloaded off the internet and drove out of my driveway, and it mowed me down by shooting me in the head four times. I would canonize this guy, the saint of suicide,
canonize
because this is just
saint of
suicide. I mean, 81 years old and he goes to the effort of building a droid. Yeah, I mean, this is Queensland, the Gold Coast. This is like, you know, a lot of people in Australia think Queensland is the hillbilly capital. You know, they often think completely differently to the rest of the country. Not that I really associate myself with anything Australian anyway. But, you know, if he was like a teenager with angst, a nerdy teenager, I could understand it more. But this guy's 81. Why do you need to make a suicide robot?
Yeah, I don't know. Fuck him. Very bizarre. Who the hell would post plans for one in the first place?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. And well, I do see you got this from Fox News, right. So I mean, they always.
Yeah. In other news, they're making a new Dune
movie. Whoa. Yes.
Dune.
Yes. So well, that's good. You know, I love the David Lynch one so much. I thought the Sci-Fi Channel one was off with the costuming. It was like a gay Las Vegas cabaret from the 70s. I mean, the costumes were really...
Okay. It's very specific. And as an expert in gay Las Vegas cabaret, you would know.
It just looked... I mean, the costumes were terrible. But the sci-fi miniseries Children of Dune was pretty good. I in fact, preferred to watch it that way. I used to watch... Or I liked to watch the uncut or the more uncut David Lynch Dune and then continue on by watching the... sci-fi Children of Dune miniseries, but it's been argued that it's such a hard book to translate into film because a lot of the, if you've read the books, which I have, they were a favorite of mine in the early teens, that a lot of the stuff involves inner thoughts and stuff like that, so it's kind of hard to put to film, but if it can get if all six books can be adapted, then I'd be happy. Have you read all the books?
Hmm.
Yes, okay.
Of course. My favorite was God Emperor.
I thought Frank Herbert got really really horny later on during life because...
Perverted toward the end. Yeah, I know.
Heretics of Dune. It had the most graphic sex scene I've ever read in a book.
Yeah, it was.
And teaching about how the Bene Gesserits could control their vaginal contractions to and stuff like this. The guy...
yeah. You know, I'd like to see in a movie.
God rest his soul. Yes. So, I'll be interested to see how that turns out.
All right. And finally, or not almost finally, I sent you that link before, the top 10... sci-fi films that never existed. Yes.
Can you send me that again?
So, apparently, there was supposed to be a Half-Life movie by Quentin Tarantino, and that collapsed. So there's not going to be a Half-Life movie by Quentin Tarantino. If you're excited about
imagine how that'd...
Yeah, But you know, games that turn into movies never work out. So I'm not entirely disappointed.
Unless they resemble nothing like the original game, then they might have a little bit. Oh, it's hard to tell.
But yeah. This is like a really bang on list. I think they have a list of movies that. You know, some of them actually existed, but just turned out to be crap, even though I have such hype. So it's like the top 10 sort of disappointments, I guess you could say, in sci-fi. Number 10 was Alien 3.
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing that.
Yeah, that was horrible.
Yeah.
And it's such bang on in here. Like, apparently, like, they're originally planned to make it on Earth, and there's a script by William Gibson. Can you believe that? William Gibson, like the father of like cyberpunk Shadowrun. William
Gibson. Is he the guy that made Neuromancer?
That's right. Canadian author, by the way.
Well, I won't Vancouver. Hold that against him.
So that would have been awesome, but no, it turned out Alien 3. And by the way, they go into a great sort of analysis of each of these. We're just going to blow through them pretty quickly, but I highly recommend checking out this site. You can link to it, Skazebrook.
Yep.
9, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah, you know, I saw that film, and I would still recommend the 1980 BBC miniseries, which is really good. Have you seen the BBC miniseries?
I don't think so, no.
It's maybe a bit like of a classic, years. At least in Australia it was, because a lot of my friends saw it as kids. A lot of us didn't even know it was a comedy at the time. It's one of those things that the humor can just go right over children's heads.
Yeah, but like they make a really good point in this sort of analysis of why that movie didn't work out. Like, in the book, it's funny just because of the way... Like, the narrative is funny. Like, the way that it's written is funny. So, like, how do you, like, turn... Okay, here's a couple of quotes in the book they point out. For a moment, nothing happened. Then, after a second or so, nothing continued to happen. He inched his way up the corridor as if he would rather be yarding his way down it.
Yeah.
Like, how do you... Like, some great, like, text. How do you turn that into a, like... a movie? It's just because it's funny. Like, he inched his way up the corridor as if he would rather be yarding his way down it. Like how do you turn that into visual? You know, it just doesn't work. So yeah. And all right, so that's his next one. That I know you're gonna disagree with this, but yeah. I think he's bang on. Star Wars Episodes 7, 8, and 9, the ones that should have been made, the sequels to 4, 5, and 6, and I'm gonna read some of this because I think it's bang on, and you're gonna disagree, but you're completely wrong. Okay, here we go. Everyone remembers the exact moment when they realized that their Phantom Menace sandwich was filled with shit. For me, it was the scene on Tatooine where Qui-Gon is talking and Jar Jar snatching the fruit from the bowl with his tongue, eating it like an insect. Annoyed, Qui-Gon reaches out and snatches the tongue out of the air and holds it in his fist while he talks. That was when I realized I was watching a cartoon. Worse, it was a cartoon I already knew the ending to. Let's examine what went wrong. And then he goes on. I'm not sure how much I should read about this, but I'll read the head ears. A, the decision to do the prequels. B, the CGI scourge. And C, George Lucas got older. Now, all of these, I think I've... Actually, the third one I've touched on the most before, like how George Lucas got old and became... Like, he had those stupid fucking kids and who turned him into this, like, fucking grandfather. And he's like... You know, there's a good sort of point here, like the generation of the 60s, and they show a picture of Jimi Hendrix and like Woodstock and people going crazy. And then, you know, 30 years later, they make Everyone Loves Raymond, you know, like the typical, family comedy, you know, harmless. You know, it's right. Like, it's George Lucas used to be cool, used to have some edge. And then somewhere along the 80s, he became... a complete wuss, and his stupid kids infected him with love, and he completely, and the hint of that was when he remastered the originals and had
Jar Jar shoots Jar first. Jar. You shall come with me to Jabba the Hutt, Han Solo, okay?
Who is Han Solo confronting? I forget the guy's name, but Guido, that's it. He had originally Han Solo shot first, and then he switched it around and had the bounty. Like, that was like, it completely destroyed the Han Solo arc. At the beginning, he's like this tough, ruthless guy, and he's cold-bloodedly blowing away this like bill collector, and then suddenly he's just sort of, you know, he softens him. That was just the hint of what was to come in the new films, where he turned him into kids movies, cartoons. And because Dane is a 12-year-old at heart, he enjoyed them. The rest of the adults...
I agree with the analysis of episode 1. I've always said that. But I think episode 2 and, to a greater extent, episode 3 were very good. And I think most people more than satisfied with them. I think most people were more than satisfied with them. It's just the vocal minority on the internet who said Serenity was going to make $300 million at the box office. Now, you see, usual...
You're so wrong. The average Joe hated...
I disagree.
Like,
I disagree.
You're full of... can say that the third one, okay, I'll grant you, was acceptable. Okay, it was fine. But the second one, it was an improvement because he shifted Jar Jar to the sidelines and ramped up the action. But his pacing was all wrong. Like, you get these things, you're going and going and going and going. Like the, what's his name? Anakin would be charging toward the camp of the Sandmen or whatever the hell they are. And then he suddenly cut back to this, he cut to a different scene of guys sort of relaxing and being calm. And, you know, his pacing was all wrong. And you know, I think he makes a good point here. The CGI, something you don't really notice like right away, but I think he makes a good point with the CGI. Like he posts two pictures, one from Return of the Jedi where they're on the sand barge,
mm-hmm.
At the end of the movie, or is the beginning, I forget. Beginning
yeah,
of
Return
the movie.
Of the Jedi, yeah.
At the beginning of the movie, and they're about to be thrown into the pit. Han Solo and Luke Skywalker and Chewbacca, they're on the sand barge. And then they show a picture from Phantom Menace. So
Revenge of the Sith, that picture.
Revenge of the Sith, okay. And it's like a screen filled with spaceships, all CGI. And he wants you to compare the two. And he says, what's the difference? The first one looks like they're actually standing on something. Jabba's flying barge thing. See the scratches, the beat up paint? Nobody notices that during the movie, but it's a subconscious little hint that this vehicle has been used. It has a history. It's a real object. The second shot, you look at it and you expect little power-ups to be floating around. You look for your control pad, you know, like a video game, right? Thank you, CGI. Thank you for letting the director project the most expansive reaches of his imagination into a bright neon digital rendering that doesn't for one second look like a universe you could live in. Don't get me wrong, when I saw that space battle in Revenge of the Sith, I did turn to my friend and say, damn, those are some fat ass effects, which was nice. But when I saw the barge scene from Return of the Jedi 20 years ago, all I could think of was, I wonder how Luke is going to get out of this one. And of course he mentions the acting and how acting in front of a green screen is damn near impossible.
Yeah, well, I do agree with the last half of this, the whole CGI thing, because obviously CGI is I agree with what he's saying there. And he also says here that have you guys ever seen other films with Hayden Christensen? He's not a bad actor. And Natalie Portman nominated for an Oscar. Yeah, I think Hayden Christensen is actually a really excellent actor. If you've seen other stuff he's done, like Life is a House or Shattered Glass, especially Shattered Glass, that's a good film. But green screen acting is, can you just imagine? Okay, look, you're in front of a green screen and you got to imagine that, there's a space battle going on behind you or something. It is kind of...
Yeah, he's got a good sort of section here. It's almost impossible to act in front of a green screen, often interacting with characters who are represented by a green screen. Yes, it was hard for Harrison Ford to look at a fellow actor wearing a rubber mask and act like he's really an alien, to stand on a set of a spaceship and pretend he's really on a spaceship. But there's a method to it, zoning out the cameras and the crew and believing in your character. Actors learn how to do that in acting school, to treat an animatronic puppet as a real alien. What they do not learn how to do is to stand alone or an empty room with green walls without even a puppet to react to, while the director shouts, okay, you've landed on a fantastic world full of alien life forms. The man comes to help you off the spaceship. Look, there's a huge creature to your right. React to him. React. No, further to your right. No, he's taller than that. Look up. You're amazed. Put amazement in your face.
But you see, I think the problem is that even that would be good enough, but George Lucas is infamous for being a complete introvert, and he would not tell the actors that at all. And in fact, if Ewan McGregor wasn't looking where he was supposed to, he'd use CGI and move his head. He wouldn't actually say, okay, do that scene again, move your head more to the right. I saw interviews with this.
Right.
He'd use CGI and correct the movements himself. I mean...
It's unbelievable. And like the best of all the movies, which everybody agrees,
Howard the
Empire
Duck.
Strikes Back, Empire Strikes Back. Lucas complained. He said, to Kirshner, I think that's how you pronounce his name, who directed it, he said, you know, you've destroyed my franchise, you've ruined my movies, you've ruined it. And you know, it's regarded as the best one. So there we go. We should have gotten Kirshner to direct. One more point. I think that, you know, because they're probably never going to be made, it's hard to sort of get judged. But I think he makes a good point. Like, why do prequels? Why not do the sequels? You know, like, why not do the sequels first? Like, I didn't really want to read this also, but it's just too much of a good point not to bring it up. He says here, it's not just that we knew how the story ended when we walked into the theater. Mia would have killed off Obi-Wan in episode 2 just to fuck with you. It's that this isn't the interesting part of the saga. Adolf Hitler's childhood wasn't interesting. So Darth Vader used to be a wooden, whiny kid. Fascinating. The pre-rebellion galaxy was embroiled in a series of boring bureaucratic disputes. Great, George. Tell me more. That's exactly it. That's a good point. He should have made the sequels, damn it. And he should have done them the right way when he had the original cast. With a good sequel, you can expand your universe, introduce new characters, explore more of the existing ones. Take what we know and push it in a radical new direction. With a prequel, all that imagination is devoted to just devising ways to shoehorn the existing characters into the old story, to pretend that they all knew each other back then. The universe gets smaller as we find out that every page of history contains the same dozen names. The fantastic, magical universe starts to seem like something some guy just sat down and wrote.
Alex, you got to understand that if I'm right, everyone else is wrong, and that's the way the world runs, and you just gotta accept it.
But don't you think there's a reason why he made 4, 5, and 6, like, first? Because that was, like, the height, the most interesting bit, the most marketable, as it were. Hell, I would have even, like the whole bit, the Phantom Menace, even the second one, okay, it had action, and it wasn't as horrible as the first one, but we could have done without it. Would you rather have the first one and the second one, or would you have another movie between the third one and the fourth one?
I would have liked 2, 3, and then 3.5 instead of 1, 2, and 3,
Okay, but what episode? What purpose did 2 serve? Like, imagine that 2 did not exist, because like all that backstory was kind of just in the background. Like, it was part of the history. It's like, what's a good example? It's like when you have like Lord of the Rings or something, and the world has a history, but it's part of the history. It feels, it's part of the background. Like, you know, it exists. It makes the world more real. But you don't have to, like, go into it, you know. You don't have to go into, like, Frodo's childhood, you know, or whatever. You know, or Bilbo Baggins before he found the ring. I mean, like there's a reason. Like, it's part of the history. It's not important. Like number 2, it should have been left into like in RPG source books, you know. It should have been left in the Star Wars the role playing game source book. And there should have been 3, 3.5, and 4.
I mean, you know, I can acknowledge that. Yeah, they could have made a different film, but you know, I was happy with what I got for number 2 anyway. Wow. So,
all right.
Anyway, number 5. Okay. A Doom That Isn't a Huge Turd.
Yeah.
And directed by
Know, that's possible.
Directed by my favorite director, Paul Verhoeven. Shit, can't even say his name, and he's my favorite director. Paul Verhoeven is a Dutch director. I actually just recently watched Black Book, which is his latest film, a very excellent film. He directed probably one of my most favorite films of the 80s, which is RoboCop, which is originally could have been just a corny, run-of-the-mill 80s sci-fi, but became an ingenious, a hyper-violent, ingenious satire of, you know, 80s corporate culture and consumerism, etc. And
Yeah, I mean, like he has a good quote here. He like Paul Verhoeven. He's the guy who took a screenplay called RoboCop, a concept so easy it could have easily been played like Inspector Gadget, and turned it into a relentlessly brutal, bloody film. And don't forget Starship Troopers.
Now this is something that a lot of people don't understand, because he went the complete opposite political spectrum to the what the original author was on about, you know, where the original author, Robert Heinlein, or whatever his name is, was about how
Heinlein.
He thought a fascism could work in the future and stuff like that. And the bugs are supposed to be a perfect communism, because communism, to him, was only flawed because humans could not handle it. So he depicted the bugs as being like a perfect communist society, and the sort of the Space Federation as being a fascist. Yeah, and of course, Paul Verhoeven went the other way. You know, he also turned it into satire, which is why I think it's his best English film besides RoboCop. But of course, a lot of people who read the books didn't get that. And the whole fact that he deliberately cast all these kind of 90210 people made it even more brilliant.
It was awesome. And about the whole fascism thing, the other thing about, you know, having to go the whole fascist, I remember Verhoeven about Starship Troopers said, you know, somebody asked him about how all the guys look like kind of Nazis, and he said, oh yeah, like Nazis have had all the best looking stuff, yep. You know, like the black uniforms and the silver and all that stuff. So he gave the Federation or whatever kind of that sort of Nazi sort of inspired look.
And do remember was born in Holland at a time where, you know, Holland was occupied by, you know, the Nazis and Germany for a long time, and Holland since has become a very liberal place. Yeah, he was born in 1938, so you know, his whole childhood was directly impacted by the Nazi the German occupation, especially, you know, they had a headquarters in The Hague there, and The Hague. See, this is the thing, you know, I read a lot of history, but I don't speak a lot of history. My pronunciation is screwed up for a lot of things.
Or you don't get history television. Cable. Well, when do you? I thought you aren't you supposed to get cable?
Yeah, our building supposedly has it included, but it doesn't work. But the management is sending up a repair guy to ensure that it does work for free. So,
good construction. All right, very good. All right, next item. Yeah, so anyway, so Doom, but honestly, I don't think Doom would have worked even with Paul Verhoeven, because it's Doom. I mean, it's a concept so stupid that, like, it's a video game. I don't understand, like, people should just give up on making movies from
games. Well, you know, the Doom movie was certainly not what you would call a great movie, but when I saw it at the cinema, it was full of, and Doom was very popular in Hong Kong also, full of Doom nerds, and from that point of view, it was like watching a good game of Doom being played. The first time I saw it, I was entertained. The second time I saw it, it was like, watching a replay of something you played yourself. It's just not as fun unless, you know, I can't explain it, but yeah.
Sure. All right, next, StarCraft.
Yep. That would have been good. It had the potential. Good.
Yeah. Well, again, I don't know. It's another one of those things where, first of all, you know, StarCraft, they kind of ripped off their whole universe from Warhammer 40,000.
Yeah.
You know, Blizzard's famous for that. They're ripping off friggin' Dream Games Workshops. They ripped off their Warcraft series. They ripped it off from Warhammer. They even fucked the names are so similar that you can't even, like, Warhammer, Warcraft, so blatant. And StarCraft is a ripoff of Warhammer 40K. Actually, Games Workshop sued, but the court ruled that Who made StarCraft?
Blizzard.
Blizzard, yeah. Blizzard made it just different enough so that, you know, they don't have to pay anything out. So, anyways, yeah, it would have been, I don't know, I wouldn't have minded.
This is so little
it, again,
sort of space sci-fi that's make... done this, these days, so I would have been happy to see it just for that.
Now, the next one, Snow Crash. Oh my god, what a brilliant movie that would make if done right, you know. It's oh my god. Awesome movie. The first like page is just fucking brilliant. Have you read this? Oh, Dane, it's so good. The first page is like sort of an elaborate description of this guy, you know, in a car, and he's like navigating like the futuristic streets of LA, and he's like in a big hurry, and he ends up, you know, getting to this guy's house, and he's all, and it turns out he's like a pizza delivery man. It's great. You have to, and the guy's name, the main character, his name is Hero Protagonist. it's a really awesome book, Snow Crash. Highly recommend it. You've gotta read it.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, the guy is talking about the chances of it getting made, but then at the end he says, "Then again, when I was watching Predator, I didn't think two members of the cast would become governors either." So you never know. The last.
That's right. Arnold Schwarzenegger and
Jesse Ventura. And the last one, 1 and 2, is the Matrix prequel and 1 sequel. I'm not a big Matrix fan at all, so I've got nothing to contribute to this.
Really? Oh, that's right. You're all offended because you think they ripped off anime.
I thought it... Everyone knows that it ripped off anime, but then it gave people the wrong idea about anime, and it screwed up some people's perception of anime.
How did it screw them up if they didn't even realize they're ripping off anime in the first place?
Because a lot of... I've saw music videos and stuff like that where people tried to make it look anime-ish, and they gave it all...
They're trying to make it
through Matrix-ish eyes.
It's like a photocopy of a photocopy sort of thing.
Yeah, I just didn't think the Matrix was that good anyway.
Wow, I really like the first one. The second two, you know, were kind of so-so, but the first one was fucking awesome. I can't believe you didn't like it. And I think there's a fine line between ripping off and being inspired by. I mean, who's to say they weren't... Quentin Tarantino, the Kill Bill movies, hell, almost all of his movies are, like, inspired by, or you could say rip-off of movies from the 70s. Like, whole scenes are stolen from these movies, okay? And nobody's going like, oh, Quentin Tarantino totally ripped off.
That was the whole
off,
point,
you know,
of Kill Bill. It was
inspired
like,
by.
It was rip-offs and influences and all sorts of stuff.
It was influences, that's right. But nobody said he ripped off. He said he was influenced by, or he was honoring those, you know, even have that Lady Snowblood chick, her song... Umibushi, whatever the hell it's called, it was in that movie. So, you know, I think it's a sort of the same thing with The Matrix, where, you know, the Wachowski brothers, they you know, they saw a bunch of anime, they liked it, and they were inspired by it to make kind of a Hollywood version of an anime, you know, and it fucking worked. It you know, rolled in the money at the box office. And it was an awesome movie. It just blew your mind, you know, with the blue pill and the red pill. That was fucking awesome. I can't believe you didn't like it.
I just didn't.
I could see how it wouldn't sort of live up on a second or third try, but the first time you saw it, I think it was the red pill, I forget, and he wakes up and he realizes in this, you know, he's like a battery, essentially. You know, he wakes up in that pod. It just blew my mind, you know? It's like that scene in what's his name?
Shyamalan.
Shyamalan in Shyamalan and Ding Dong. That the ghost movie. What's
Sixth
it called?
Sixth Sense.
I guess like a Sixth Sense.
Yeah,
at the end.
Sixth Sense was okay the first time, but I'd never be interested in watching it again.
Well, that was great. I don't know, two times maybe. The first time you watch it and you're blown away by the ending, and the second time you watch it, you're watching it again to see the things you missed. See the things you missed. Okay. You know, so I don't know.
Well, moving on to the I guess the final thing. Well, there is that Gundam statue, but I discovered that was Anime News Network anyway, so I don't think it's worthy of mentioning. But something here in Hong Kong, and this is very unusual for Hong Kong, is there was a serial killer on the loose killing prostitutes in the Tai Po area. And everyone is a little bit afraid of this, because although obviously not everyone is prostitutes, but still...
Wait a minute, they're prostitutes?
Prostitutes everywhere, I imagine.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Tai Po as in... No, I'm thinking of Fo Tan.
Yeah.
Yeah, like near Fo Tan? Wow, I was right near there. Who knew we were in prostitute glory?
How can I say this? In other countries, you know, brothels might be symbolized by a red light, thus the term red light district. But in Hong Kong, if you see, I believe it's a yellow and green sign, yellow background, green writing, I believe, or vice versa, I can't remember, that means that basically, you know, there's a brothel in there. They'd found three different prostitutes who'd been killed, strangled, and obviously people were afraid, and they caught the guy. But the thing is that the guy ended up being Pakistani. Yeah, Nadim
okay.
Razak. There's also a Wikipedia entry for him, and he got arrested, and you know, he's in. It's pretty much definite that he did it. He was born. He's like only 24 years old, so I have no idea why he did it. And then now there's apparently a copycat killer on the loose also. So yeah.
Wow, serial killer. Oh, something else. I remember before, if you finished about this topic, I remember you saying that there was going to be a TV show filming in your apartment building.
Yeah, well, there was going to be a TV show, just a local show, but TV show filming in my apartment complex. Yeah, something like that.
Like a drama.
But then apparently all the residents said, no, we don't want anyone in our precious building. And then they went somewhere else, and then the price went up that place. Yeah.
Yeah, Park Island, I believe you said.
But,
yeah. See, but couldn't they think that far ahead? People are so stupid, you know. Obviously, if like a show is going to be filmed in your complex, it's going to be more attractive to people because it's like you have the stars are so called, you know, are quote unquote living there. How could they not see that far ahead? Like how stupid can they be? You know, probably a bunch of like expats who, you know, are renting and they don't give a shit about the value.
Yeah. Yeah, I never even heard about this until it was too late anyway. Now, we do have one final thing which Alex just sent me, which blew my mind. And it is Asian-related because it's about Russia.
Part of it's in Asia.
It's interesting because lots of people will say Russia's in Asia. Lots of people will say, no, it's Eastern Europe. And a lot of Russian people say, no, it's in Russia, and Russia's its own thing. So, you know, it's kind of tricky, but Asia Minor, I suppose you could say. But anyway, it's basically Grand Theft Auto. Set in Moscow, the show is essentially a real-life version of Grand Theft Auto. In the television version, contestants have a chance to win an actual car. The catch is they have to outrun the police for more than 35 minutes in a live car chase. There's also another catch. The police have a GPS tracker on your stolen car. And did I mention that they think you stole the car? My goodness, it was. I just want to. I want to download this show. Is it apparently? Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see this.
It was huge in Russia, garnering twice the number of fans of American Idol on its most successful night. Remember, Russia is a huge country. And why not? Did I already say that the episodes sound ridiculous? For instance, in one, an ingenious thief drives his car onto a moving train. And in another, the thief drives it onto a raft which floats in the middle of a lake.
Oh, that's awesome. They got a link here.
I want to know the name.
More crazy game shows.
Any Russians listening, please tell me the name of this show.
Yeah, send us. Yeah, I want to see it.
Yeah, so anyway, that pretty much wraps up that rather long segment, actually. It's already the
Guess it's called The Intercept.
Okay. I'm going to make it my quest to download The Intercept. Obviously, in Russian, it's probably going to be called something different.
Yeah, so somebody sent us a link. We must have at least one Russian listener.
I always play that Russian song.
Send us a link to this great show.
Two or three times, but I was told it was always by Mr. Bork Bork. But yeah, I played that Russian song, so if you...
Yeah. All right, I think we're dragging here. We've already recorded for more than an hour, so I say we leave the spring preview to next week, along with my review of...
Kaze no Yojimbo.
I forget what I'm watching. Yes.
Okay, well, so that's pretty much what the interesting things happening in the Pacific and Oceania and Russia, which is sort of kind of Asia, and sci-fi. Not even very Pacific-y, really. So yes, that wraps up another stellar episode of Anime News, no, Asian News in the Pacific and Other Crap. So until next week.
That's right.
Bye-bye, everybody, bye-bye. Oh, wait. Woman suing American Airlines over masturbating incident. Wow.
Oh, I heard about that. Have you heard about that? Some guy, I think some woman fell asleep on an airline, you know, happens very frequently, and she woke up to find some guy's, like, penis next to her head, and her hair had, like, sperm in it, like in, well, I don't know, like in some, like, I guess in some porno that Dane watches.
You know, it's funny. It's,
I don't know, I thought it was kind of funny. But anyway, she's suing American Airlines.
Masturbating is called da fei gay. Which means beating the aeroplane.
Beating the aeroplane.
That's, yeah. So, you know, there we go. You know, I actually, just before I go, just to make this episode from PG-13 to R, apparently, a few months ago on the Hong Kong MTR, the Metro Transit Railway, this woman was kind of sleeping on the train, as many people do on the way to work or the way home. Because Hong Kong people don't get enough sleep, and the woman was sort of like, and then decided to yawn, and obviously some otaku who was a very pitiful individual said, you know what, this is my best chance, I'm not going to blow it. And while the woman yawned, he unzipped his pants and thrust his penis into her mouth and then leapt off the train.
I love that. That's great.
Yeah, can you imagine? Oh, another busy day at work.
But wouldn't you be scared of, like, the woman, like, kind of reflexively, like, biting down?
Otherwise,
I've been doing that all the time.
That's right. Yeah.
Every guy? I don't know.
I'd like, put ice on my penis and hide in, like, an ice cream truck or something. No, okay, that's...
Well, you probably would. Every one of your, like, Tales from Asia is, like, you're whipping out your cock to some
free
schooler.
Free popsicles, children!
That's right.
Yeah. So, anyway, I... If... Obviously, I don't know, you gotta have balls to, like, thrust your penis in someone's yawning mouth on public transport, but there you go. So, anyway, the curtain really is closed, or the balcony is closed. So, see you next week.
Yeah,
bye-bye. Bye-bye. 云霄拍荡身飘渺被困扰怎得共渡蓝桥离窝轻照映出花月调但望双看慧寂寥时刻与共享 分秒愿折腰今生孝同林了离窝浅笑似白云腰以梦轻泛浪潮春宵犹未觉晓离窝虽潮 悲欢景亦了落极痴恋变恨妙情丝转断一朝了梦已消花依旧欲人渺 情丝寸断一朝了梦已消花依旧欲人渺梦已消花依旧欲人渺